What a... It is. We have assembled once more to discuss the most important things in the world.
Yes.
Star Trek. Yeah.
So much going on in the world, and there's only a few things that matter to us.
Yeah.
Particularly related.
That's right. We're here to talk about the cosmos. Mm-hmm. And the progenitors.
Progenitors.
Things are getting a little intense. I wasn't able to do the amount of research necessary to understand the connections between this and all the canon. Canon and that canon. Well, come on. I can only do so much. I wish I was a Vulcan every day.
Synth.
Oof, what I wouldn't do to be a synth.
Yeah.
Let's get synth to it. Yeah? All right.
Very good. Never mind.
Set Phasers, a highly illogical Star Trek podcast.
Well, welcome, everyone, to Set Phasers, a highly illogical Star Trek podcast. Today's
star date. Star date, Aki.
I have it. I wrote it down this time.
152407.2.
And we're talking about Disco, the final season, season 5, episode 2, Under the Twin Moons. So evocative. It's like a song. It's like a...
Because this is when we find out what was happening for this season.
Yes, we got the... And it's my kind of thing.
And the Picard throwback.
Yes.
So good.
The Picard throwback, and now we've got... We find out that we're going to be hunting for pieces of a map, which is very fun. It's very...
Well,
it's every
hunt,
video game I love.
Don't we?
Exactly.
Yeah.
The map to take you to the thing that is the thing. Yeah, we got a lot of development here. We got some characters coming. Some characters, they're not going, but the Discovery family is starting to go its separate ways in this brave new future. Let's just run it down.
Let's run it down.
It's time to run it down.
Can you run it down for me?
What just happened?
Can you run it down for me?
Yeah, unlike everyone else, who watched both episodes probably the first night, I foolishly only watched one and then was on tenterhooks. But yes, we found out at the end of the last episode about this whole connection to the progenitors and the Romulan scientists who found their incredibly advanced technology and hid it. And there was a whole bit of hide and seek, I guess is what I want to say, with some bounty hunters, less couriers, as we call them in this millennium, Maul and Locke, who I remember that there was a mnemonic, but I don't remember which was which. But I think Locke is the green-faced male-presenting alien. And Maul, did I already get it wrong? And Maul, that's right, I did. Okay, oh, thank God. I'm going to have to put up flashcards. Anyway, we begin. We have this clue that we found from the book to go to a planet with twin moons. Michael knows where that is. And now we know what the Red Directive is supposed to be. We have to find this technology before anyone else does because it's so powerful. It can be so dangerous. It is the key to all life in our galaxy. And so Michael is contemplating what that means as a captain, having taken on this mission and being told all that is happening. The Disco is still in dry dock after having deliberately crash landed on a planet to save them from an avalanche caused by those two couriers. This is going to be Saru's final mission on board because he has accepted not only the ambassadorship of the Federation, but also Tarina's hand in marriage. See what I did there? It's a little wordplay. But he's going to have one final day on board. I love how they were like, this crazy mission, it'll be a day. It's just a day of work. But before all that can get kicked off, remember our grumpy, curmudgeonly Captain Rayner, who was part of the chase, and was the one who ordered his ship to fire on the mountain of caverns that didn't cause the avalanche, but then gave Mal and Locke the idea to fire on it to cause the avalanche so they could get away. He's come up before a hearing, and Michael has been brought there. The president and Admiral Vance are there. And it is sort of like, it seems pretty portentous. And Michael is forced to sort of explain that she was in disagreement with Captain Rayner, despite wanting to be the kind of captain who says, well, the captain made their decision and we're all here. And it appears that Rayner is not apologetic for the decisions that he's made. He has been a captain for decades, it seems like, or at least has been in Starfleet for decades, and the decades of this, you know, post-Burn, you know, the Orions and the Breen and not having enough dilithium and all that stuff. So he's sort of like a wartime captain, and apparently he's still making wartime decisions in peacetime. And it doesn't seem like the president or Admiral Vance, who apparently they go way back, are really happy about that anymore. But after that briefing and the talk with Admiral Vance, Michael and Disco depart for the Twin Moons place. But actually, there's three moons, but two of them are connected. Doesn't matter. And Book is back on Disco with Grudge because he is sort of helping them keep tabs on or anticipate the moves of Mal and Locke. And so they head there. There is also the book from Dr. Velik, this 800 years in the past Romulan. There's a schematic in it, and Stamets is looking at that. And Book is supposed to look through the interactions with Fred to see if there's anything he can get about Mal and Locke, because they don't know where they are. They're in the wind. And Book reveals that Saru has a nickname, which is longer than his name. It's Action Saru, because of his shooty neck stuff. Disco jumps. Tilly's also on board. Tilly's back on board. She's the science specialist. She's away from the academy, and she's helping them pour through the information. And they head to this planet, which was a Primillian necropolis, sort of a graveyard planet with graves, but also huge statues and stuff like that. There's a strong electromagnetic field around the actual necropolis area, and that's where they believe they have to go. So they're going to have to beam in and walk. Michael and Saru go down to the planet. There's some discussion about how they'll miss each other and how the long road they've traveled since Michael first came on Discovery. Book and Dr. Culber get together. There's a warm greeting for Book from Dr. Culber, which Book seems shocked by. They know that Mal is a human. They don't know. We have confirmation that Locke is not a known sort of humanoid species. No one really knows what Locke's deal is. But Book has realized from watching their, you know, just his sense, his space druid senses, his empathetic superpowers, that they must be in love. They're free and in love, like he and Michael once were before the Discovery came back, et cetera, et cetera. Saru is giving Michael advice because she's going to have to pick a new first officer, that she should find someone who's willing to stand up to her. He actually suggests Book, which is, you know, Book's about as un-Starfleet as they come, though he's very Starfleet adjacent. But he should never give up his black duster. They find unburied bodies on the planet, not Primellians, some grave robbers that look, their bones are on the ground. They look dead and brutally dead. And there's a massive stone hand on the ground. Tilly and Adira have a discussion about life and times. Adira and Gray are still a thing, but they have not been in contact because Gray is down on the Trill planet and Adira is on Discovery. There's a spike in the EM field as Michael and Saru are walking, and drones come from the stone eyes of a giant stone head, and they start shooting at Michael and Saru, and things get pretty rough. Tilly and Adira are trying to figure out how to help, and that's when Rayner, who's been monitoring their comms, I guess in between being yelled at by the Starfleet brass, helps them sort of figure out that they need to be thinking about the technology that Primellians would have been using 800 years ago, and that they have to disable this EM field using an EM pulse, which they're able to relate to Michael and Saru. And so Saru has to draw the fire of these drones that are flying in the sky and shooting red lasers and exploding when they get close to a target, because he's fast and he's got those Kelpian reflexes. And Michael has to go and use their phasers to create an EM pulse. The pulse works. Saru is injured, but able to continue. Meanwhile, Stamets is working on the comms, and Book comes into the engineering lab with Culber because he has a plan to contact Monolock in order to appeal to their desire to be cliffhanger people. Cliffhanger people? That's not what I'm looking for. He describes them as action junkies and he wants to give them a cliff to climb or sail off of. And so he uses quote unquote dark comms, the gray web or whatever, to contact Monolock. And he's like saying he's going to like be a buyer for the book because they know that it's hot and they probably don't want the Federation on their butts. Michael and Saru look around. They find phaser burns on the relic. So they know that Monolock have actually been to this planet already. They figured out that clue and they tried to destroy whatever the clue was, which is like these symbols on a rock. But Saru is able to read the bacteria in the phaser blast to find to see what the clues were. And then they're able to put a screen on it to figure out what it is. And it's a Romulan Revlav, which is this five stanza poem that is also a secret kind of thing, you know, how Romulans were. And they find four verses, but there should be five. And so they have to find the fifth one, which turns out to that, you know, Romulans don't invite real friends, don't come to the front door. They come to the back door because that's how Romulans roll. So they look under the statue. They find the fifth clue with four lines. It seems like the clue is telling them it's a clue, by the way. So it's not the technology. It's, it looks like this is going to be a little treasure hunt. Fun times, big weekend. But with the fifth line, they realize that they're probably headed to Trill. Meanwhile, Mal and Locke, who are two distinct persons, do respond to Book's invitation. They talk to him, but they do not accept his offer. And they cut off communications after parting with some cold words. But Book does seem shaken at the end of the conversation. And he walks out of engineering to do something on his own. Michael and Saru are able to get back up to the ship. They have the clue. Not only that, they also have a little weird hunk of metal rock or something, which when they show it to Stamets and they look at the image from the notebook, they use a programmable matter to make the image a 3D thing. And then they're able to put the stone thing into the 3D image. And they realize, aha, ha, this is some sort of thing that has to be collected a number of five pieces in order to complete the symbol in order to find the thing that Dr. Velik hid in the past to be found in the future. They're also headed to Trill, which that's funny because we were just talking about Gray and Adira and their relationship. Meanwhile, Book is going over the footage of the conversation he had with Mal and Locke, and he has Zora zoom in on Locke and age Mal down to the age of 7 years and 3 months ago, and he recognizes her because of her birthmark and realizes that she is the daughter of his mentor, the previous holder of the title of Cleveland Booker IV, something like family to him. Disco heads back to HQ. Saru packs up. Michael and Saru say their goodbyes, but they're going to leave Saru's room as is, so he'll always have a place on the Discovery. Michael goes to visit Vance, asks about Raynor's inquiry. Apparently, Raynor's going to have to take immediate retirement, even though he and Vance have been friends for 30 years. It's just a different kind of galaxy out there. Michael gets a crazy idea. Oh, what could this be now that Saru is gone? Well, enter stage left, grumpy Raynor. Basically, Michael asks Raynor to become her number one. He says, listen, I'm not a yes man. And she says, I'm counting on it. And she's like, listen, this is your second chance. I got mine. This is yours. And it appears at the end of this episode that Raynor accepts and the hunt is on. And here endeth season 5, episode 2, Star Trek Discovery, Under the Twin Moons. Let's talk about that.
I say, darling, let's do a quick chat about that.
Yes, let's do.
Well, treasure hunt?
With the TNG throwback.
Yes.
One of my favorite episodes as a kid.
Again, I've said this last episode, but I'm always shocked at their ability to go find one episode that does sort of stand out, but you're not like, well, that could lead to a whole season of something and be like, oh yeah, sure, find this Romulan in the back. He has a thing and there's more, and I did watch episode 3, so I know that there's some more interesting lore from that time. More lore! But yes, I love that. I love Michael and Saru's last go of it as their own away party
yep.
on a crazy jungle planet with dangers.
Saru.
Action Saru bursts into action. Running and flipping and dodging and coming around locked and using his, I don't know what you call those. His, I want to say frongs. I think I made that word up. His neck darts. Let's go with neck darts. Mm-hmm. The Kelpian neck darts. And, Tilly being back is very satisfying. Tilly being very Tilly.
Yeah,
I really enjoyed this episode. I appreciate that Book is coming back into the fold. He's paying penance for all the things that he did in the last season. So he feels very like, I just go where they send me. I can't do his British accent.
I just go where they send me. It's not very good. That was a British accent, but it wasn't his.
That was a British accent, but it wasn't his. You say it with your British accent.
I just go where they send. No, that's Michael Caine. I just go where they send me.
Oh, is he Michael Caine?
No.
I just go where they send me. Michael.
Just go where they send me.
I just go where they send me.
It was a bit more London.
Yeah, Book's from London. And, I didn't mention this in the rundown, but he recognizes Maul. We now have Maul's full name, I guess. Maleen. Which I thought at the time, I was like, when he was zooming in and looking at her, and I was like, is this from Next Gen or something? Is this someone who's like 800 years old? But it's just a bit of lore in their universe, which is cool. I like that. What else is cool about this? Well, Rainer becoming number one. I want to say good Giorgio, but also bad Giorgio sort of decision.
It's one of those where earn it. He's got to earn it with us. He's got to earn it with the crew. Because we don't right now.
Yeah. I will say new Star Trek, maybe just Alex Kurtzman in general, does seem to love a grumpy asshole who slowly grows on you. That seems to be sort of an archetype that he likes to throw into the mix. You got like, oh, I got all these people I like. Tilly should be number one. Or Book should be number one. And then we're like, how about this jerk who doesn't want any friends and knows how things are done? He doesn't want to talk to these young people. He's got a gray beard and he's rough. He's not just rough around the edges. He's all quills, porcupine quills. Anyway. We'll see how that develops. We'll see how he does on Disco, a ship of people who love games with words and doing poetry at lunch and who hug each other a lot. He doesn't seem like a real hugger.
Hugger, that's a great point. We shall see.
Yeah,
there's
a lot of hugging and touching of foreheads, and he doesn't seem to be into that. Mm. Shall we go to the Easter egg desk?
Easter egg desk. I don't have too many Easter eggs because I feel like we covered so many last week, but I do have one that I missed last week, so head there. Let's go.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us. We return once again to the Easter Egg Desk. We go directly to Stevie. Stevie, how are you doing out there?
Well, hi there, Augie. It is a delight to speak to you today with a special Easter egg.
Easter egg.
I'm great. I love Easter eggs.
You will love this. Of the Red Directive episode.
Yes.
Flash forward for like a little trailer for the rest of the season.
Mm-hmm.
And in doing my research.
Research.
Which basically means just trolling the internet for things that I missed with nerds, which you don't like to do, but.
Well, I don't want spoilers.
I know.
Well, you send me things and I like read the beginning and I go, this is telling me too much.
Like this, because. Okay. So at the end of Red Directive, we see a flash of a ship coming out of some mist. Which appears to be Constitution class.
Get out of here.
I shit you not.
God, I slammed my computer shut when they were like, this season. I can't believe it. You know, I don't want any spoilers. I like to come up with my theories.
I know, tinfoil time.
My tinfoil time. But that's incredible. A Constitution class coming out of the mist. So some ship from, you know, 800 or so years ago, or?
I mean, obviously, Aki is hoping for Lorca.
You know, every day I wake up and I bow before my Lorca statue and I pray that they bring him back to the series.
is indeed the ISS Enterprise. Mm-hmm. So this is Discovery's wink to TOS and its first season, which serves as a nice sort of recognition for how far the show has come. And to paraphrase another controversial prequel series, it has been a long road getting from there to here.
I can't believe you. I can't believe you worked that in. It's almost bigger than the Easter egg.
I'm sorry.
No. Never apologize for having faith of the heart. That's what I say.
We do have faith of the heart. We have faith of the heart that Lorca will be back.
We do have faith of the heart. I've carried that torch for years now. Mm. Actually, as an aside, I recently walked in on my father. I went to visit him, and he did not hear me at the door, and I used my key. And I open the door, and he is blasting Enterprise. So he's like rewatching Enterprise, and I hear the Faith of the Heart blast. He's not even skipping Faith of the Heart. He's like sitting through. He's loving it. Anyway, that's very cute.
I have to meet him one day.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Sid from the Easter Egg Desk, Aki, it is back to you in the studio.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Thank you so much for talking to me. Proud to use my mid-Atlantic accent. Let's go to quotable moments. Well, listen, I don't have any tattoos, but if I was going to get a tattoo across my entire torso, it would be, we're after Bigger Shine now. That's very cool. It just makes me feel badass. I couldn't stand it, but I would love to have that.
Because I was mixing up three.
Uh-huh. So I will wait. Episode 3 has some really great quotes. Yeah. Yes.
So I'm gonna this hold was my less... quotes.
Let's see. I'll throw a few more in there. I loved Vance saying, your mission is not in question here, Captain. Your actions are. And also a cute moment between Michael and Saru when they're on the planet and they're getting shot at. Or might be before they're getting shot at. But basically, Michael says, would hate to miss your wedding because I'm dead. And Saru says, would be a grave disappointment. And Michael says, oh, is that a pun? And he says, unintentional, unless you liked it. And then it was meant to be. That was very cute. And of course, one final word of wisdom from Saru to Michael. One cannot predict what is to come, but I find that when I give myself over to the journey, trust in the process, one might say, there's always great meaning in that, wherever I may eventually arrive. And that's it. That's all I got for quote of the moment. Is there some breaking news?
News, Aki.
News from around the galaxy.
I love being behind my news desk.
Yes.
And there is so much news coming out of Trek world at the moment. And not all of this is good, but there is some hope for those who have faith of the heart.
Oh, boy. A second one? Indeed, what are you going for a record?
Confirmed it this week that Star Trek Strange New Worlds Season 4 hath been renewed. Is there really for anyone? It's doing so well.
Yeah. I was just waving doing super, super well. Of course. It's great. And
Lower Decks has been cancelled after season 5. Boo. However, it does sort of make sense as they've all been promoted from Lower Deckers. Younger Lower Deckers. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So.
Perhaps there's a. No, you can't do a show called Upper Deckers.
Comes a bus at that point.
Yeah. Well, Upper Decker means something very particular in the States.
What does that mean?
I presume you don't know. It has to do with the
sewell thing.
It has to do with it's not sexual. It's a bathroom. It is. It's about.
Don't need to know.
Okay. Great. I don't want to. I can't it. Even. Yeah, couldn't even say labial last time. So I don't want to get into.
My wife
what
sent that clip
means.
To her speech Google pathology it. Friends, who laughed at us.
Oh no!
Mostly me, to be fair, because I got it wrong. So don't worry about it.
Well, it's not like I got it right.
You said bilabial.
I just repeated something.
Right. And I corrected
it's not like
to
I knew what I was saying.
Because I typed it wrong. So no, you were correct.
What is bilabial? Oh,
Academy
sorry.
Begins
on, news.
Shooting this year. New series, but it's got a big throwback for the old fans that will be included. Yes.
Yes.
TNG's Yesterday's Enterprise, and then she was also in Picard. She wasn't in
was
it,
she
but
in
her
Picard?
Statue
was oh, yes, there, as a statue.
The Red Lady. So I think we're going to get that backstory, which is going to be quite cool. Lower Decks, we're losing Discovery. We've lost Picard, but we're going to get Starfleet Academy, which I hope is going to deliver. And you and I had a discussion about has a really, really group of... They are aging. And Jonathan Frakes was quoted as saying that he gets a lot of people coming up to him, none of whom are terribly young.
Yes. Well, also, listen, we're fairly young in comparison to Frakes, but how am I going to get...
I mean, we're probably the young end of the fans, of the TNG fans.
That's true. Well, after I pray to my Lorca statue, I pray to my Frakes statue. And I hope that I meet him one day and that I can convince him, you know, to let me write a musical.
I'm sure he would let you. Section 31. So that is filming.
Yes.
At the moment, and I think will be released next year. I thought it was this year, but I think it might be next year. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know this. This is going to be a made-for-TV movie. So I believe it will just release direct to Paramount Plus.
Yes, because it was supposed to be a series, right? But then Michelle Yeoh, here, there, and everywhere.
But I think it's going to be a movie series.
Ooh la la.
Because Kurtzman was saying, you know, we love her so much and we're going to hang on to her as long as possible. So I think they're going to include, if she's not going to... Obviously, she won't be in Discovery anymore. Could she be in Strange New Worlds? I could see a crossover there. But more likely, I think it would be that there becomes a new series of movies. So that's my tinfoil time.
Yeah.
Any other, because we were thinking, what else is coming in the world of Trek? Could be a TNG movie? Please surmise that, because SPS, Sir Pat Stew, has been putting it out into the universe that he would like to do one. And frankly, he's not getting any younger. There is a time limit on this. None of them are getting any younger. So wouldn't that be nice?
Wouldn't it be nice if we could get it?
Speaking of,
this is a gift from Stevie to me. Making it so. Yes, I would love to see this. I'd love to see them make it so once more.
All right, well, that is it from the news.
It really does get the heart rate up just talking over that.
Next time on Set Phasers.
Next time on Set Phasers, we'll discuss episode 3 of this, of this final season. An episode mysteriously entitled Jinal.
Yes.
Yes. And yes, the hunt for the progenitors technology continues. But yes, if you've enjoyed this episode, you can find us wherever you get your podcasts.
Do check us out on YouTube, because I'm trying to do some things, doing some shorts. We have our full episodes on YouTube. You can watch us. We're not that attractive, but there we are. But you can watch us. It's more fun. And you might get more of an episode. Who knows? We'll see. Who knows? And yes, join us on Patreon. We're at patreon.com/setphases, where we have community chats. We have Zoom hangs, which we're due for. So we will set that up soon.
Indeed. Oh, well, what's the YouTube? Is it youtube.com/setphasers?
Podcast. That's Set Phasers Podcast.
Find us on the socials. We're on Instagram and we're also on Facebook.
Pooh, if I may, a happy belated birthday to you, Aki.
Yes. I have grown one star year older. Is that a thing? That's not a thing.
Well, anyway, we will see you next time for Set Phasers. I am Stevie Manns.
And I am After Bigger Shine now, Chief. And this has been Set Phasers, a highly illogical Star Trek podcast.
Computer, end program.